540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. We begin in Chester County, Pennsylvania, where there's been a big lead in the search for a fugitive. KYW-TV's Yuki Washington has details.
A resident has reported and confirmed that the suspect, Danilo Cavalcante, stole a gun from his premises, and now he has a firearm. And that resident was shooting at Cavalcante as well.
He escaped from prison almost 2 weeks ago. He had just been convicted of his ex-girlfriend's murder. Well, it now looks like there is a possibility Hurricane Lee could make landfall in the U.S. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren with the latest on the Category 3 storm.
More of the U.S. now in the cone. It will be weakening as it moves north, but parts of Massachusetts, including Boston, and even parts of Rhode Island in the cone.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is in Russia now. He's expected to meet with President Putin any day. Korea expert Gordon Chang on what the meeting is all about.
It appears that Vladimir Putin wants to buy ammunition and other items for the Ukraine war. And Kim Jong-un would certainly like to be paid in dollars. He also probably would like some advanced technology from the Russians.
The search for survivors of the deadly earthquake in Morocco intensifies. CBS's Haley Ott reports.
Hundreds of survivors are at a makeshift hospital set up by the Moroccan military. Though for thousands of other residents, there's heartbreak. The Etnasser family walked through what's left of their home while mourning their 7-year-old son and brother who died in the quake.
A disturbing report out of Britain.
I'm Vicky Barker in London, where the medical profession is having its Me Too moment. Roughly two-thirds of women surgeons surveyed here say they've been sexually harassed and a third sexually assaulted by colleagues in the past 5 years. At least 11 rapes were reported among the 700 women surveyed. Many say they feared reporting their abusers would only harm their careers.
Well, today is the day for tech nerds. Apple is unveiling the iPhone 15 and a bunch of other stuff, too. One of the big changes in the new phone, a different charging cord. Tech contributor Insure.
For the past decade or so, Apple's been using a proprietary cord called Lightning for all of its phones. But it has already switched to USB-C for many of its tablets and for the Mac computers.
Apple is also expected to reveal two new models of its watch, and AirPods will reportedly get some new features too, like the ability to mute and unmute. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, September 12th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or the Civic Media app, podcast, social media, however you got to the state of Wisconsin Sense, we're happy to help you unpack the news each morning. And here's what's on tap this morning. Leave it to Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature to take a vote on September 11th designed to undermine democracy. Their imaginary renomination of the state's top elections official is now going to the full Wisconsin State Senate, even though the nomination is imaginary, the legal drama is real, and it will probably get real expensive for you, the taxpayer. Also coming up this hour, Christina Laurie, she puts together our daily newsletter for Up North News and has some of the upbeat stories that you can find in there to kind of break up all of the serious news of the day. In our second hour, we'll talk about the opportunity out in the country. The Rural Democracy Institute is a coalition of dozens of groups working to lay out a roadmap of policies that could renew America's rural communities and help the country with some of its big challenges. We're going to talk to two Wisconsin individuals who played a part in this new 2023 report about improving the rural economy and the lives of the people who live in rural Wisconsin and elsewhere. We'll visit with Chad Holmes about what's coming up on his afternoon show on Bull Falls Radio up in the Wausau area. We'll get the updated weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. And I guess I know where we have to start, but we're not going to get to Aaron Rodgers just yet. First, I'm going to tell you, 6 a.m. temps include 51 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Madison coming in at 56, Waukesha 52. La Crosse, you're at 50 degrees, as is Wausau. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 46. Amory, 50 degrees there. Green Bay, 50 degrees as well. If you'd like to join the program at all, 844-967-2789. You can also text that number or reach us through the Civic Media app. And you can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or leave a comment on one of the Facebook pages where you can see the live video feed of this radio show. We'd love to hear from you one way or another. Sam Davison and Aaron Zommers are standing by down at the Civic Media Master Control Center headquarters thingy down in Madison. Guys, I think you know where we got to begin. Will Aaron Rodgers be back from that possible season-ending injury, or will he come back thanks to either ivermectin or hydrochloroquine? What's your best guess? Guys, this is radio. You got to talk.
Well, I will say that whether or not he should come back from this potentially season-ending injury, I think he will, as he has done in the past, where it's like, hey, your hand, your arm are messed up. You should probably not play. And he's like, well, I do what I want, and just plays anyway. And I think ivermectin may be the drug of choice.
I think so. You know, I would have gone along with you for the first however many years, but he is about to turn 40 years old. I have to, and yes, I know Tom Brady, but I don't know. Your Achilles is nothing to mess around with. And you know, you rub ivermectin on horses with like Achilles injuries right before, you know, you put them down. So this might be the end. Sam, am I being too pessimistic about A-Rod?
I mean, this is the first I'm hearing about this. I'm not really much of a football fan. I don't follow it too closely, but I'd say what Aaron said is what I think of Aaron Rodgers and what he thinks. That follows it pretty close, what he would do.
he's been a tough guy all of his life, but for folks who haven't seen the video yet, Aaron Rodgers lasted 4 snaps and is likely out for the season. On the 4th snap of the game, he was tackled around the ankles, and the way that he came down on, the left ankle, could have been the right, came down on it really hard, you know, kind of like hyperextending it, and as a result, he may have some Achilles damage that could be it for the season, which means it could be it for the career. And while there was at least that one bar, actually, more than one bar, the bar down the street here was also last night going to give out shots for any time that Aaron Rodgers got sacked. Well, that happened one time, but I'm like, well, if it's out for the season, doesn't that mean everybody gets to drink free? Like for the rest of time, that one sack was pretty good, right? I don't run the bar. I don't pay the bills. I'm just saying, I think maybe the rules should be that.
If only.
One big sack. Yeah, I know. If only. It was not pretty, but again, that's the nature of football. And when you get to be, well, of a certain age, it's tougher to come back from injuries. But still, I mean, an injury like that to your Achilles is going to be rough regardless. So we'll look at whether he comes back or not. All I know is the Jets did manage to win in overtime over Buffalo last night. But again, at a pretty high price for a guy who got so much attention, was a big part of that behind the scenes program that they're doing, for all of the talk, for all of the drama. And now we probably won't hear about him for a long time. That might be it. We'll see. Talk about the Brewers coming up in just a bit. But first, a reminder that Up North News has T-shirts now available, tote bags, the kinds of things that remind you that Wisconsin is all about beer and cheese and voting rights, the need for local news in Wisconsin, a definition of up north, a definition of bubbler, and freshly in new T-shirts featuring somebody's mugshot. Florida man arrested and making America great one felony at a time. So head to upnorthnewswi.com, click store in the top banner, and get a gander at all of that. Wherever you're listening from across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back to unpack the news after this.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Happy birthday to Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland.
I don't want to get a baby, let's turn off the phone. I don't want to go to work today or even put my makeup on.
Jennifer Nettles is 49 years old today. We'll have more birthdays, anniversaries, and other notes in our history lesson and music break coming up a little later this hour. Brandon Woodruff delivered Milwaukee's first complete game shutout since 2021, and the Brewers collected a season-high 17 hits in a blowout of the Miami Marlins 12-0 last night at American Family Field. 12 runs on 17 hits. You'd think they could have given at least one of those to Corbin Burns against Yankees pitching on Sunday, but no. Anyway, the Cubs won as well, so the Brewers maintain a 3-game lead in the National League Central Division. The Brewers over the weekend added Josh Donaldson, the one-time American League MVP. He won that in 2015 with Toronto. Donaldson joined the club and knocked in a run with his first at-bat. Christian Yelich missed a third straight game with lower back tightness, but the club is saying that there doesn't appear to be anything serious about it. Freddie Peralta will pitch for the Brewers tonight. They've got Miami tonight, tomorrow night, and then again on Thursday afternoon. If you're in the Richland Center area, you can catch the Brewers game on WRCE News from the Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. In the Fox Valley, catch the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. All right, let's unpack the news here, and if you have a comment or a question along the way, or something you want to vent about or share with a statewide radio audience, you can call the studio at 844-967-2789, and we're going to start with Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The Wisconsin Elections Commission was something created by Republican legislators around 2015, if memory serves me right, because the previous group that investigated elections, the Government Accountability Board, they had an investigation that was getting just a little too close to uncovering some potentially illegal activities by the Scott Walker campaign. So Republican lawmakers got rid of it, created the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which was built for gridlock. They put it in intentionally with three Republicans and three Democrats, and then they make all the decisions. But then there's an administrator who is kind of the day-to-day chief operating officer of the Elections Commission. That's Megan Wolf. She's the administrator. She is nationally recognized. She is nationally respected. People know that Wisconsin elections are clean. They are accurate. They are fair. She kept people safe during the pandemic. But because she's the one that's most in public view, she's also become the scapegoat for every crackpot conspiracy theorist or Trump foot soldier who needs somebody to blame other than Donald Trump for Donald Trump losing to Joe Biden here in Wisconsin. And that would all be fine if it stayed at the crackpot level. But unfortunately, some of those crackpots appear to be in the Wisconsin legislature, because there is now a move afoot to fire Megan Wolf, even though she can't really be fired because of a process that Republicans set up a couple of years ago to protect one of their people from being let go, from being replaced. So let's back up a bit and see what we're talking about here. Megan Wolf's term ended on June 30th. In the olden days, which was not that very long ago, unless you were renominated, you were done at the end of your term. And the way the process is supposed to work is that the governor or the appropriate body, in this case, the Elections Commission, would nominate somebody or renominate that same person. And then the state Senate would vote to either confirm that person or to reject the nomination. And if the person serving in that office and your nomination is rejected, you're essentially fired. And that all sounds very above board. That's the way the process worked for the longest time. But then a few years back, shortly after Tony Evers was elected governor, one of the members of the state Natural Resources Board got the idea that he could stay on the board if the Senate, controlled by Republicans, just simply kind of sort of forgot to get around to confirming Governor Evers' nominee to serve on the board and replace him. And we know this is true because later investigations found the emails, the text messages, and the other correspondence between this Natural Resources Board squatter, Fred Prenn, a gun shop owner and dentist from the Wausau area, and Republican legislators and lobbyists and Scott Walker himself. So what you have there is an actual conspiracy to stay on the Natural Resources Board, deny Governor Evers his nominee on the board to serve there, deny the governor having a majority of members on the board, even though Evers is the duly elected governor and Scott Walker lost. So this all went to the state Supreme Court, which was, as you know, dominated at that point by conservative justices. And they said, yep, got no problem here. If the Senate hasn't confirmed any replacement, then this guy gets to stay, even though his term has expired. That's the rule now, as set up through Republicans and conservatives on the state Supreme Court. So here Megan Wolf is at the end of her term now this summer. And based on these new rules, she gets to stay there until the Elections Commission either nominates somebody new or renominates her for the Senate to vote on. But until the Elections Commission either provides that nomination or renomination or recommendation not to nominate somebody, until that happens, the Senate has nothing to vote on. The Senate has nothing in front of them. At one point, the three Republican members of the Elections Commission said, let's put Megan Wolf's name up for renomination, basically because they knew that Republicans in the state Senate wanted to reject her renomination, which would essentially fire her, making her the scapegoat for Trump losing in 2020. That was the plan. The three Democrats on the Wisconsin Elections Commission said, no thanks, we're not going along with that. Megan Wolf is doing a fine job, even though her term has expired. She's doing good work, so we're not going to take part in this little game. We're going to abstain. So the vote was 3-0 to advance Megan Wolf's renomination to the state Senate. The vote was 3-0. That's not a majority. The law is very clear. Things only advance out of the Elections Commission with 4 votes or more. Again, that's the way Republicans set up the rules. But Republican senators a few weeks back said, well, those rules that we helped write don't apply to us anymore. We're going to imagine that the Elections Commission has submitted Megan Wolf's name for renomination, and we're going to take it up so that we can reject it and therefore fire her. It's not a real renomination. Again, do the SpongeBob SquarePants thing with your hands and make the little rainbow. It's all in their imagination. So they sent it to committee, and yesterday, on September 11th, through a paper ballot vote, the Republicans on the committee voted to reject her nomination and advance that to the full Senate for a vote, which could happen this early as Thursday. So the renomination is imaginary. The vote that might be taken as early as this week in the state Senate is imaginary. But the legal drama and the bill that you'll end up paying for the legal drama to follow is going to be very real because, again, as determined not just by people watching this, but by the state attorney general, and not just the Democratic state attorney general, but the legislature's own lawyers. Remember, the legislature's under Republican control. The lawyers who work for the legislature have said there's no nomination here because it didn't get a majority vote, 4 votes, from the Elections Commission. This is all a farce. It's all made up. And they take a vote on 9/11. to undermine democracy further. And a couple of weeks back, when they first started discussing this, the public hearing phase of this imaginary renomination, yeah, there were a few things said about Megan Wolf, but by and large, it was a circus. It was a parade of all the old 2020 charlatans coming forward and talking about the secret cabal that was out there to somehow steal the election from Donald Trump when he just didn't get more votes. For reasons we continue finding out as more people go, I don't support this guy anymore. I thought he had some fresh ideas back in 2016, but we're done with him. More Americans continue seeing that, especially as they see the ones who are still clinging to Trump are also embracing these things that go against democracy, that try to undermine the will of the voters. And this is only the latest example of Republicans trying to undermine democracy. It is absolutely going hand in hand with their efforts to impeach newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who was elected by a landslide by Wisconsin standards, an 11-point victory over a conservative former justice. And yet they're moving to possibly impeach her because of things that she said. Well, the Associated Press looked into that and put out a report yesterday, and we have a copy of that story over at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you head over there, you'll see the Associated Press story where they have reviewed comments made by all of the justices and all of the candidates over the years, and they have spoken out about all sorts of issues. There was the conservative justice who spoke in favor of gun rights, even producing a political mailer showing her brandishing a shotgun and wearing a hat promoting the NRA. Another previously called Planned Parenthood a wicked organization. A former conservative justice faced criticism after a campaign filled with misleading information about crime that raised questions about whether he could be impartial in cases involving certain defendants. And yet, even though both conservatives and liberals over the years have weighed in on topics that could eventually come before the court, sometimes in very strong language, by the way, despite all that, this is the first time that Republicans who've controlled the legislature for a dozen years, this is the first time they've proposed impeaching a justice for something that was said on the campaign trail. And they want to tell you, well, this is different. There's something different about what Janet Protasiewicz said. There's nothing that's different compared to what these folks said about abortion and about the NRA and about gun rights. Jay Heck, the director of Common Cause, a government watchdog group, said to the AP, "It is self-serving, selective outrage. Where was their outrage and their demands for recusal when conservatives in the past have weighed in about their values?" Well, because their values, much like their rules, only apply when it's convenient for them. When it's not convenient, you can change the rules. And then even after you change the rules, you can pretend they don't exist anymore. And you can get what you want done through your imagination. Let's take a break. We'll come back and get the lighter side of things, The Uplift with Christina Lorre, talking about stories coming up in our newsletter at Up North News. We'll be back right after this break. You're up north.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. New developments in the search for an escaped convict in Pennsylvania. CBS Philadelphia's Brandon Goldner.
A resident reported to police a man matching Cavalcante's description stole a .22 caliber rifle with a scope from them during a confrontation. The resident told police during the confrontation they fired shots at the person. It's unclear if that suspect was hit.
He escaped a county prison almost 2 weeks ago. The Category 3 Hurricane Lee is now threatening more of the U.S. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Parts of Massachusetts, including Boston, and even parts of Rhode Island in the cone.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is now in Russia for a meeting soon with President Putin. Former CBS News Moscow bureau chief Beth Noble says they'll likely discuss an arms deal.
The North Koreans have a lot of munitions based on old Soviet designs that could help Russia restock and keep its war going in Ukraine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lin.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. It's time for the Uplift here on Up North News Radio, and that's where Christina Laurie joins us to talk about some of the stories in the newsletter. We cover a lot of Wisconsin. We do a lot of politics and policy and news and headlines, but I was joking with Sherita Booker yesterday that, you know, we also do a lot, it seems, at once with either food or sports. Yesterday, we had a couple of really good and popular sports-themed stories. Today, we're back on food, and that's where Christina joins us again. Christina and I are quickly becoming Wisconsin food buddies as this weekly segment comes out every week. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, now hungry, because we're going to be talking about some of my favorite Wisconsin food, the Wisconsin food you get at a ballpark. So the note that you've got with me here is you're working on a story about the most Wisconsin ballpark foods, or if you really want to make it more of an adjective, the most Wisconsin-y ballpark foods, I guess you could put it.
First, I have to ask you, Pat, what is your ballpark go-to? What if, you know, no visit to the ballpark is complete without what for you?
Right now it's a brat, you know, a brat and a beer. I like the ones that are at American Family Field. I've said before on this program, and I will say it again, the brats that they serve at Target Field for the Minnesota Twins are an abomination, and they should be banned. Whatever they're these plain, very white-looking things that have no flavor whatsoever. The only flavor is the really bad sauerkraut they give you to put on it. So if you're listening anywhere near Twins territory, please get those things out of there. They're not real bratwurst. American Family Field, they've got real brats.
Yeah, I'm a hot dog girl, but I feel like that's fighting words here in Wisconsin. You should go with brats.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we go to Wisconsin, we'll go to the other border here. You being from the Chicago area, whether it's at where the White Sox play or the Cubs play, is there like a food there that's a must?
Yes. Well, first, I just laughed when you said where the Sox play, because I'm a Sox fan. Our field is called Guaranteed Rate Field. It's the ballpark name in the whole country.
Yeah.
But yes, I am a hot dog girl, but also they have Chicago mix popcorn there, which is half cheese, half caramel. So that is my ballpark staple. But I know they don't offer that at American Family Field, but they do focus on so many things that are uniquely Wisconsin that we decided to send our team out there and try as many as we could. And then we ranked them from a tiny bit Wisconsin all the way to
Wisconsin?
Total Scani. So
nice.
Okay. So on the slower end, loaded fries, there is cheese on them. So that's why it did get a tiny bit Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Then if we're going slightly more Wisconsin, there's the AJ Bombers Burgers, which AJ Bombers is a local Milwaukee restaurant. The Brewers have unique partnerships with a lot of restaurants and small businesses in the Milwaukee area, which is just really nice. And I do think that is not something that we're seeing at as many ballparks as should be doing that.
Yes.
Then if we go to Wisconsin-ish, there is a Wisconsin meat and cheese board. Didn't get a lot of points for creativity in our poll, but you can't argue that that's Wisconsin.
Yes.
Getting warmer, this one, I don't know if you've ever had this at a ballpark. It's the hanging bacon.
I had it the last time I went. It was in the Leinenkugel's restaurant out there in left field. And oh, was that good stuff?
Yes, it looks incredible. It tastes even better, but I just still can't get over why we're eating that at a ballpark. Like, if you're going to serve bacon at a ballpark, I want it on a stick. I don't want some fancy schmancy hanging.
Yeah, because again, we were sitting down at the time in that restaurant, and it was very unique and it's very tasty. And I've been to other restaurants that do this kind of, you know, glazed bacon. It's thicker, obviously, and it is just delightful. But no, your point is spot on. It's not the thing that you can get from a vendor, you know, and you know, put it in your hand. It should be, they need a variation on a stick.
So now that actually has me questioning our grand picks here. If we want to drum roll, the top three that we marked as total Scani, but one of them, Johnsonville Brats, of course.
Yes.
That fits the handheld theme. Mm-hmm. Also, beer battered walleye.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you should be picking up and eating that. That requires a fork. So now I'm.
Oh, no. I have it by hand all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, not fresh out of the fryer, you know, safety tip, everybody, but yeah. Oh yeah. You can do it. You should go wash your hands afterwards, but yeah, I'll give it.
Okay, but
I'll
allow it. This last one is questionable. You cannot argue that this is fully Wisconsin, but should we be eating soup at a ballpark?
What?
Barrel beer cheese soup.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. And you know, we've got new t-shirts for Up North News. They ask questions like, am I up north right now? And a dictionary definition of a bubbler. But I was at the Volume 1 store in Eau Claire about a week and a half ago. And I saw this slogan on a shirt that I wish we'd have thought of for ours too. Says, we're so Wisconsin, our soup is beer and cheese. And I thought that was genius, because you said soup and I'm like, no. And then you said beer cheese, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what we would do here. That is peak Wisconsin.
It's our two favorite things in there, and I'm surprised that more places don't serve it with, like, you know, chopped up brats in it. I think that would be a very fitting addition.
It would. You'd get it all there. All right, speaking of brats, that takes us on to our next story that you're working on.
Yes, we've been really relying. So anyone listening to this, if you're subscribed to our newsletter, thank you, because we've been relying on you guys to kind of have an ongoing conversation about uniquely Wisconsin things. We love picking your brains about your favorite things in the state, because most of us know the best recommendations don't come from Yelp or TripAdvisor or just Googling, you know, where can I get Wisconsin's best brats? But it's from locals who actually have tried all of these smaller holes in the walls and are going to go beyond just Johnsonville. Right. So we asked our audience for just simply, what's the best Wisconsin made brat? First, Pat, I do also want to ask you, because you are fully Wisconsin. So what's your go-to brat?
Well, mine is Johnsonville, and it's not just because it's the biggest. It was many, many years ago that I had it for the first time, fell in love with it. There's others that are very good. Don't get me wrong, but that definitely became my go-to. And I think that's part of the reason it got popular is it, you know, that it's a really good tasting brat.
And the answer that we got were much smaller places. I mean, they're in places like Cumberland, Wisconsin, at Louis Finer Meats.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that one. Yes.
In Sheboygan, Meesfields, Antigo, Perot.
Antigo.
Oh, Antigo. Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
Still learning. Oh, my gosh. Some of them look like they should be so simple.
No, there's no sin there. So what's in Antigo?
Perutka's. Okay. And then, of course, Milwaukee is Usinger's. Is that how you say it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yep. I was just thinking about that. Yes. And then I haven't had Usinger's in a while, so I can't compare it. So, and then you got Johnsonville.
Finally, Fox Brothers has multiple locations, and then Hoff's Quality Meats in Brownsville also got a lot of shout outs. But then there's the whole additional layer. If we want to argue even more, we can argue about the best way to cook them. And there was no clear consensus about among our audience about that. We got a lot of boiled, we got a lot of broiled, we got a lot of bakes, beer soaked, or just fully soaked in water. I mean, there was just very unique options there. So what's your go-to? I'm a grill girl.
I'm a griller simply because of, you know, tailgating. And I understand that that's not always what, you know, some people like or say that you should do, but I've tried all the other things and I just know what I prefer. And I think it's one of those things where you're never going to get a consensus. People actually like to argue about this kind of thing. So I'm glad that we gave people an opportunity to vent a bit on why something is, you know, the right way in their minds to cook a brat.
And maybe you can just keep this information in the back of your head when you're 2 months from now looking for a Thanksgiving table conversation starter that's not political. You know, that's the one day we can put the politics aside and maybe debate what really matters: brats and types of beer.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. All right, our last story that you're working on here for us is a Wisconsin connection to Dungeons and Dragons. What's that about?
Yes. So if you were like me, I wasn't really hip to the whole Dungeons and Dragons craze. No, I never played that game, but it really experienced a big surge in popularity during the pandemic. Go figure, because it was a much safer alternative to other things. And what a lot of people don't realize is that it started in Wisconsin. It started in Lake Geneva, and it was the result of this man named Gary Gygax. He lost his job in the early 70s, so he started working as a cobbler in Lake Geneva to support his family. But he didn't love that job, so to escape his own reality, he decided to create a fantasy role-playing game with a friend. They called it Dungeons and Dragons. It was just their thing that they did for fun recreationally. And to put it mildly now, it really took off. Nearly 50 years later, it is now a book series, a movie franchise, and coming soon to Lake Geneva, where it all started, is going to be the first of its kind immersive experience. I don't know if you've heard about this coming,
no,
Pat.
No.
It's big news in this part of the state. It's called the D&D Wonderland, the Griffin and Gargoyle. And it's going to include a tavern, an antiquity shop, a steampunk cocktail bar, and axe throwing lanes. And then, of course, you can also play the game there as well. But not only did the pandemic do a lot of good for Dungeons and Dragons, but just recently, it's been kind of ingratiated within pop culture. It's been in the Big Bang Theory, Stranger Things. And then, of course, during the pandemic, people started finding ways to play it virtually. But I love seeing people actually connect in person now and going back to old school games. What was your go-to? I was from a Scrabble family, so that was our most popular, but I also just personally love Clue.
Clue was a good one, but Monopoly was ours. And I don't know that there was any particular reason why. We just had it. We liked it. We kept playing it. And then there was Yahtzee was always a fallback. So it's made it a lot easier to shake bar dice as often as I do here in Wisconsin. But yeah, Monopoly was kind of the main one. Like I said, we didn't do Dungeons and Dragons very much. And every time I see that it's played with like these very multi-sided dice, you know, it's very, very creative. And it's interesting to know the roots of that now.
Quick Monopoly follow-up. Have you ever finished a game?
That's a very, very fair question. Has anybody finished a game? Yes, you have. And it gets so complex, you know, the numbers get big, people go bankrupt, and you're almost exhausted by the end of it. But yeah, I have from time to time, but you know, just as often somebody has, you know, flipped the board over the table or, you know, or at least wanted to, you know, when they stormed away. But those games can go on for a while, can't they?
Yes. My parents both had very good attention spans. My brother and I, not so much. So we would make eyes at each other across from the table. And then we just start going bankrupt on purpose because we were ready to be done.
I guess you can do that. That is your kind of your escape hatch there. All right. For more about the D&D story and everything, get to our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com is click newsletter in the top banner. You can click store in the top banner as well and get a t-shirt. Not a beer cheese soup one, but we've got other ones that we think you'd really enjoy. Christina, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat. Have a great day, everyone.
Wait, I didn't bring the guys into this. Guys, board games, because especially Aaron. Aaron, you like to play your board games. You did over the weekend again, right?
Yeah, and I did say, as soon as she said Dungeons & Dragons, I was like, oh, she's going to talk about Gary Gygax in Lake Geneva.
So you know this.
Yes. I think it's really cool that it came from Wisconsin. And I never got to meet Gary Gygax, but Sam here says that he did.
Wait, what?
I think I did.
You think you did?
Yeah.
I thought I met Jennifer Aniston this one. It was bar time. I might have had some goggles on, but I understand. Yeah. So tell us more about your quote unquote meeting with this
guy. Okay. So my high school that I went to had a really big gaming club, and they put on like a convention every year. It's called Evercon in the Wausau area. And they invited some speaker who was like heavily involved with D&D in the early days. I think it was Gary. I'm not 100% sure. I met him and like took a picture with him when I was in like middle school.
So Sam, the Pride of Ringle, D&D veteran?
I've never played regular D&D. I've played a couple RPGs before, but never like regular D&D, which is
RPGs.
Role-playing games.
Oh boy. I have so much to learn from these young men. But we're going to take this break first and have today's history lesson and music break right after this. You're up north.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 68. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 49. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 65. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
Pop quiz. In today's pop quiz, name the monkeys. Yeah, you got Davy Jones. Did you get Peter Tork? Did you get Mickey Dolenz, Michael Nesmith? There you go. The Monkees TV show made its debut on NBC this day in 1966. Four actors chosen to portray a pop band based on the Beatles. In the beginning, they were a fictional band, but they became very real, eventually insisting on playing their own recordings instead of studio musicians. On this day in 1962, President Kennedy delivered his We Choose to Go to the Moon speech at Rice University. We don't normally have a couple of TV themes in one day, but here's a show that, well, I suppose it's the kickoff of the fall TV season. Here's what kicked off the fall TV season, also coincidentally on NBC, this day in 1959. This, of course, would be all about the adventures of the Cartwright family on the Ponderosa Ranch. This was Bonanza. And the interesting thing about this in the history books is that this was the first regularly scheduled TV program that was presented in color. Now, virtually nobody had color TVs in 1959, but it grew very quickly. The show was set in the 1860s. Centered on the wealthy Cartwright family who lived in the vicinity of Virginia City, Nevada, bordering on Lake Tahoe. Just think of it as the Yellowstone of that day without all the sex and violence and unnecessary drama. We've got an anniversary of a birth, not a birthday today. Barry White passed away in 2003, but he was born this day in 1944.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. Half of any Barry White record is listening to him ramp his way up to actual singing. Neil Peart, the Canadian drummer, songwriter, producer, was born this day in 1952. He passed away in 2020. Singer-songwriter Ben Folds is 57 today. Jennifer Nettles, we heard from her earlier, from Sugarland, is 49. And Jennifer Hudson is 42 years old today. That's actually where I was doing the ramp for Barry just right, and then we lost him. All right, let's try this one instead. Maria Muldaur is 80 years old today. And she gave us this hit, Midnight at the Oasis.
Midnight at the Oasis.
A couple of actresses to tell you about. Emmy Rossum is 37. You know her from Shameless. And Sydney Sweeney is 26, seen in Euphoria and White Lotus. It was on this day in 1988 that Hurricane Gilbert devastated Jamaica and then chewed up Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula a couple of days later. One more birthday to tell you about. Kelsey Ballerini is 30 years old today.
Tying my red lipstick cause you said you didn't like it. I didn't wear my high heel shoes
'cause I couldn't be taller than you.
It also was on this day in 1993 that the band Garbage found their lead singer when they saw Shirley Manson in a video on an MTV program and talked her into moving from Scotland to Madison to join the band. We'll hear from her coming up a little later on in our second hour today. There was a point I wanted to follow up on from one of our earlier stories dealing with the effort to essentially fire Megan Wolf illegally by using a process that doesn't exist. The Senate Republicans are insisting on holding a vote on a renomination, even though there is no renomination coming up from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And I, again, as I'll often do, couch this criticism by saying that the work that journalists do is tireless and it is thankless, and you would do well to subscribe to whatever news sources you can and support them. But that also does come with occasional bouts of criticism like this one. The headline that accompanied the Associated Press version of the Megan Wolf story, the headline reads, "Senate committee recommends firing Wisconsin's top elections official in a process Democrats dispute." In a process Democrats dispute is not a fully accurate headline. It is technically accurate, but if you are the person reporting that story, you would want that headline to be as factual as possible. But in the culture that we live in these days, where it's so easy for people from one side of the political fence or the other to try to work the refs, or to, you know, jump down your throat, to cry foul, whatever, you know, description you want to use, newsrooms far too often end up couching their language. In a process Democrats dispute is not nearly as correct as Senate committee recommends firing Wisconsin's top elections official in an extra legal process. You could even say illegal process simply by referring to the legislative council lawyers and the Wisconsin Attorney General, or just on your own observation of state statute that says you need 4 votes from the Wisconsin Elections Commission to advance anything to the Wisconsin Senate. So to take a headline and reduce it down to a both sides thing, it's a process, and Democrats dispute the process, is playing right into the hands of the people who are abusing the process, the people who are acting illegally, the people who are going to end up losing in a very expensive legal fight because they worked beyond the letter of the law. By the way, in a process that those same Republicans drew up themselves, as I took great pains to point out in our last half hour, the many ways that they actually changed the processes along the way to cater to their whims, but now want to pretend to change the rules back because they feel like it. That's not a process dispute. That's an abuse of power. Between that and trying to impeach a justice, it is being drunk with power. Now, that is much more of a subjective comment. That is my opinion of being drunk on power. You would not necessarily put that in a headline. But certainly, the tone of what they're doing, the behavior behind it, to try to fire an elections official, to try to impeach a state Supreme Court justice, and at the congressional level now, we are going to hit a gridlock. We're not going to just have gridlock. We're going to have a government shutdown, because some House Republicans are insisting on impeaching Joe Biden for nothing. And again, any media that describes that just as a disagreement or a process, you're doing a huge disservice, not just to your readers, but frankly to democracy and a free press. Much more to come in our second hour here on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.